Well, good morning. Greetings to each one of you this morning. I was considering the song that we sang. Are we persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day? Lord, help us. Today, I hope we can become even more persuaded in our hearts that he is able to keep us. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to strengthen us. He's able to uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Praise God. Maybe we could kneel for a word of prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, as we kneel before you this morning, we just humble our hearts, we quiet our hearts before you. Lord, you're on the throne this morning, and we're bearing the cross, and we're waiting till you call us home. And Father, as we're here journeying through life, we just want to open our hearts this morning in a deeper way to you. Lord, just touch our hearts in a special way, where there's areas that we have not surrendered yet, or areas that we've been struggling and failing in and not finding victory over. Father, I just pray that we could grab a hold of the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome the battles of life, overcome the struggles and the temptations. Lord, you are the victor, and we just look to you this morning. Father, just come and minister to our hearts. You know the burden that you've laid upon my heart. You know the struggles that I face and the challenges. And Lord, this morning I just want to open my heart and let you speak to me. Father, just come by your Spirit and draw us to yourself. Help us to unite our hearts together in love and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just come and be with us. Guide us and lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title this morning that I chose for the message is Power to Overcome. And I realize this message is a bit of a challenging one for myself. I see a lot of shortcomings in my own life, areas where I just desire to surrender more fully to the Lord and have his power come into my heart and change and direct and guide me. I was thinking of the verse in Revelation 12, verse 11, says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Just considering that passage here in the last week, couple weeks, and thinking, what does it take to overcome the devil? Overcome our temptations, overcome our struggles. It's by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. I think we know that Jesus' blood is the cleansing power. The resurrection gives us victory and hope, and we have testimonies and we share. But how about loving our lives? I was just challenged with that deeply this last week. Do I love my life? Or am I willing to lay it down and take up the cross and follow Jesus? I realized this morning there are some of you, especially younger people maybe, that are maybe a bit oversensitive. And I just want to invite you to listen, take it to heart, seek the Lord, but some of this is maybe rather strong, rather challenging. So just open your heart and seek the Lord, but we also need to be careful that we don't know where we're at and we're just very uptense and we don't know what to do with everything. So just relax and let the Lord be your guide. Just rest in Him. In Luke 14, verse 26 and 27, I have quite a few scriptures that we'll cover here, so you don't have to turn to all of them, but I don't know, I just like to use a lot of scriptures. It's God's word, and different verses minister in different ways to different people, and I like to use scriptures. Luke 12, verse 26 and 27, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the question this morning is, are we his disciples? And do we have the overcoming power? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Dear young people, this morning, some of you have shared your testimony. Praise God, that's a blessing. I enjoy hearing how God works in different people's hearts. It's a blessing. I just want to bless you and encourage you in your walk, your new beginning. Commit your life, sign it off to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Walk in His kingdom, walk in His ways. He's given us a roadmap, He's given us the way. Don't take it lightly. Because if we do, we will not have power to overcome. If there's areas in our lives that we're not willing to surrender, we will not be able to overcome. It's just that simple. I know it hurts. It hurts me. I don't like it. I don't like to say it. I don't like to hear it. Yet it's true. If I'm not willing to surrender everything. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark says it a little bit different in 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And Luke says it a little bit different yet. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Are we willing to die to everything? And when I say everything, I'm talking about everything. Are we willing to lay our life on the altar? Our finances, our business. What about our wife, our husband, our children? He that hateth not father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, and take up the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let's just let it sink in our hearts. Are we allowing God to have His way in our life? Second Corinthians 4, verse 10, Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Is His life manifest in our body? Romans 8:36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Are we dying daily? so that we can gain that overcoming power. John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Are we fruitful in our lives? I think that's a gauge that we can look at and see if we're dying. Mark 10, verse 17 to 22, the account of the rich young ruler. Mark 10, verse 17 to 22, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him and loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. What is that one thing in my life, in your life, that one thing that you are not willing to surrender this morning? I believe God knows what that one thing is, and I believe he is putting a finger on our hearts. Yet the choice is ours. And sadly, I'm afraid too often we're not even sad when he puts a finger on our heart. We just go to a different church or go to a different whatever, get a different job or whatever. Are we sad? Are we sorrowful about that thing that's holding me back? And will we walk away, or will we turn to him? In repentance, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a wonderful invitation that Jesus has given us. He had everything he needed to overcome. The choice was right there. I believe he was so close. And I just pictured Jesus there. He loved him. He loved him. Jesus wasn't harsh. He wasn't upset, bitter, and angry at him. He loved him. And he spoke the truth. He put a finger on his heart. What is that one thing that's holding you back? Just consider the last week here. What were your passions and your burdens? How did you use your time? What is that one thing that's holding you back? Or were you able to overcome the struggles? Praise God if you were. Let's confess. Let's repent. Let's be open. Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Are we seeking revenge against the brother that misused us, mistreated us? Is it lust? Is it covetousness or greed? Are we jealous because of another brother that can excel and everything just goes well for him? What is that one thing this morning in your heart, in your life, that is holding you back from getting that overcoming power by Jesus Christ? I urge you this morning, be free. It's simple. It's easy. But you need to die. John 12, verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Does the Lord honor us this morning? Are we following him and serving him? Is he pleased with my life? Or is he putting a finger on my heart saying, "Son, surrender"? Something that gives us power is fasting and praying. I want to lift that up this morning. Not as something that we have to do, but something that brings us peace and rest. Isaiah 58 talks about losing the band. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." I used to think that says to loose the bands of the wicked. But some time ago I came across that, and it says to loose the bands of wickedness. That wickedness of unbelief, that wickedness of unforgiveness, that wickedness of bitterness. Fast and pray. Die to that flesh. Brandt quoted the verse that I had on here. "Let this mind be in you." Philippians 2, 5-8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Perfect example. Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are we looking to Jesus for an example? Is that mind in me this morning? Obeying, following unto death. Following unto death. Total surrender. How many teenagers do we have this morning? Would you raise your hand? I have a story of a young man out of the Martyr's Mirror on page 256. His name was Pelagius. Some of you probably heard of him. Gary Miller talks about this story in the book Charting a Course in Your Youth. The story, I came across it yesterday in my study, and it struck me. It was a 13-year-old lad. I don't know. Maybe I might get some of you a little bit out of your comfort zone. Maybe you teenagers, if you're a teenager, why don't you stand while I read this story? Sometimes we get a little lax in our seat. Maybe you can stand and just make it a little more personal to you. Thank you. Stay standing while I read. It is stated that about 2 years after namely A.D. 925, a lad of 13 years called Pelagius was put to death for the name of Christ in Cordova, which occurred as follows. His uncle, Ermoigus, who by some writers is called a bishop, having been apprehended and imprisoned at Cordova by the Arabian king Habdar Havman, set Ermoigus in order to be released, left his nephew, who was then about 13 years old, in his stead, as a pledge which for more than 3 years was now redeemed. either through the neglect of his friends or because the king would not let go the youth, who was, listen to this, now very comely and well-mannered, 13-year-old youth. In the meantime, this lad exercised himself diligently in the Christian religion to prepare himself for his martyrdom, which seemed to him to be drawing near. When he was about 13 and a half years old, he was brought before the king, and standing there immediately began to confess his faith, declaring that he was ready to die for it. But the king, having in view something else than to hear the confession of the Son of God or of the Christian faith, purposed to the youth, who was quite innocent and evil, some improper things which this hero of Christ valiantly and in a Christian manner refused, willing rather to die an honorable death for the name of Christ than to live shamefully with the devil and pollute both soul and body with such an abominable sin. The king, hoping that he could yet be persuaded, commanded his servants to ply him with fair promises to the effect that if he would apostatize, he should be brought up with royal splendor at the court of the king. But the Lord, in whom he trusted, strengthened him against all the allurements of this world, so that he said, I am a Christian and will remain a Christian and obey only Christ's commands all the days of my life. The king, seeing that he remained steadfast, was filled with rage and commanded his guards to take him, suspend him by iron tongues and pinch him and haul him up and down until he should either die or renounce Christ as his Lord. But having undergone all this, he was as fearless as ever and refused not to suffer till more tortures, even unto death. When the tyrant perceived the unmovable steadfastness of this youth, he commanded that they should cut him limb from limb and throw pieces into the river. As he doth stood before the king, dripping with blood from his previous tortures, he prayed to none than Jesus Christ our Lord, saying, O Lord, deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies. When he lifted up his hand to God in prayer, the executioner pulled them apart and cut off first one arm and then the other, thus also his legs and lastly his head. When this was done, the pieces were thrown into the river. Thus this young hero and pious witness of Jesus Christ ended his life on the 29th of June, A.D., 925, his martyrdom having lasted from 7 o'clock in the morning until evening. Thank you. You may be seated. Sometimes we look at things like that and just consider, you know, yeah, that was only torture for a day and it was over and going to glory. But it didn't happen in one day. This young man gave himself to study and prayer to the religious Christian faith before this time, or he wouldn't have been able to stand. He wouldn't have had that confidence. Just think about the things that they prodded him with, the wealth and I don't know what all. They put in front of him, this, you can have this if you surrender. And yet he stood steadfast. Tremendous pain and agony that he went through. What are the little things in our life that we are holding on to? Maybe it's unforgiveness, as we said. Maybe we feel our employer ripped us off. Maybe it's at the car dealership. Uh-oh, that's coming home. Or the clothing store. You fill in the blanks. But what is that pride or that arrogant spirit or that just that cool spirit that's within you? What might it be? Just consider. Not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm challenged in this. Lord, help us to be faithful so that we can overcome the devil and be faithful unto death. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and know them and they follow me. Let's follow the Lord. I want to bring some hope into this. God is merciful. God in his mercy is looking down this morning and he's seeing the struggle we're facing. He's seeing the temptation we're faced with. He's seeing the things that we don't want to release. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, praise God, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He has that keeping power to keep us from falling. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for that mercy. Are we looking this morning when we're faced with a trial, a temptation, a struggle? Are we looking for God's mercy? He is able to keep us from falling. He's given us the power. The victory is won. Jesus gained that victory. When Satan and all his demons were rejoicing and thinking they got him, he's in the grave. That was not a small thing. He just rose again. And he's got the victory. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Dear young people, I urge you to arrange your life in sobriety. Don't look after the earthly and worldly things for fulfillment, for acceptance, for belonging, for identity. Look to the Lord. Arrange your lives in sobriety, in truth, in godliness. Pattern your life after Jesus. It's worth it. One day we will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. All of us and our friends will not be there. Our peers, the treasurers, the salesman at the car lot, they won't be there. It's your choice. Do you want Jesus to come seeing you dressed in cool clothing, driving down the road in your truck that is, you know, yeah, maybe Dad didn't really appreciate you buying it, or listening to music that is not really what you're comfortable with? What if Jesus would all of a sudden sit in your passenger seat? Honestly, he is there. He does hear. He does see. You will give account for your life, and I will give account for my life. What is being written on the pages of life today? Adorn yourselves in modest apparel. I just would like to respect our older people here this morning. And just consider looking to them as an example and as a pattern for our dress code. Is there a need for age gaps in our churches? Is there a need for differences from the younger to the older? Are we diligent in preparing our children, our youth, for the future? Someday they will establish their home. Are we preparing them? Are we giving them all that we can in our power and authority as parents so that they can look to Jesus once they are accountable and once they're on their own? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, and then also in 19 again says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. The choice is ours. Put on humility. Lay hold on eternal life. Adorn yourselves in modest apparel. Give up yourself. Give up yourself. Be an example to the believers. Paul told Timothy, a young disciple of his, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I just want to lift that up this morning for our young people. What is your conversation? What are your words? What is the conduct of your life? What is the love that is flowing out of your life? What kind of spirit is there? Is it a spirit of meekness and humility and love and joy? Or is it a cool spirit? Where is our faith founded on? Are we looking for belonging and identity in earthly things, or is our faith in Jesus Christ? What about purity? Titus 2, Paul tells Titus in verse 12 and 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing if we're driving down the road and all of a sudden Jesus comes and we can go home. What a blessing. Or will we shiver and be afraid? Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 4, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Are we living to delight our Lord? 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. When was the last time that you were in your quiet time and you trembled at the word of God? And you were in awe, and you were just diligently seeking and crying out to God. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. God doesn't despise it. He loves it. Are we his followers? Are we looking unto Jesus? Are we yielding ourselves to him and giving our life? What is that one thing that we're still holding on to? And why can't we overcome? Maybe, let's just consider some maybe lesser things, such as a commitment that we made with someone. Maybe we borrowed some money from someone and we made a commitment to pay him back. And time is kind of going on and it's not as fresh in our hearts, and we come across another something that we desire to have and it's a good deal and we buy it. And then the next something comes, and but that commitment is still there. And that relationship is hurting because the commitment is not being upheld. Yet we take the scripture and say, if we lend something, we shouldn't hope to have it back. So we're not allowed to talk about it. Or the other brother will have a scripture for us and say, you can't do that. Does it prick us if we're not living up to our commitments? Are we willing to do what it takes? Maybe we need to delete the Facebook app, or maybe we need to get rid of our eBay account. Whatever it is, do what it takes so that one thing can be released and you can be free and you can have overcoming power by the blood of the Lamb, by your testimony. And that testimony is you are not loving your life unto death. You have power to overcome because of that. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive, listen to this, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Do we want revival in our own hearts? Do we want to grow? Are we excited about life? The life in Jesus Christ that gives us peace and rest and joy? It's available to the humble and the contrite. Psalms 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Are we far from God? Are we proud in our spirit? What is coming out of my life? I just want to be open to you, brothers. My journey isn't over yet. As far as I know, I'm clear. I have peace. I've seen God working again this week, and just. But what are those things? Let's work together. Let's draw together. Let's help each other. Let's open our hearts to each other. I desire to just open my heart to you. If there are things, I'm open. Sometimes we would like to change our circumstances. We just like to change them. We're in this and we like to change it. Come on, Lord, change my circumstance. You know what will change it? Death. Death to yourself. That's the only thing that will change it. It won't change the circumstance, but it will change your heart. A few weeks ago, God was laying something on my heart. I needed to go talk with a brother. I didn't feel like I actually wronged him. I didn't feel like I needed to, and yet it was just kind of there. And so I called a meeting with him, and we sat down. We had breakfast together, and just shared. And he didn't feel like I wronged him, but he blessed me. And it was so freeing for me to go home and just know that I can meet him anywhere, and it's not between us. Once we die to ourselves, God can work. I praise God for that testimony in my life. And I know the devil will try us, and he will continue to try us as long as we live. I'm sure Marianne still faces temptations. Be of courage. God is bigger than our problems, bigger than our fears. Give it to him. You know, Jesus would have liked to change his circumstance too. When Jesus was in the garden, praying earnestly, it was a heavy load that he was about to carry. And his prayer teaches me something. His prayer teaches me that he had the struggle with the flesh too. He said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Not my will. That shows me that it wasn't his will, his fleshly will. But he gave himself for the Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done. His situation required death. I believe our situation requires death. That's probably the most beautiful picture of surrender that we'll find. Jesus is giving himself. Just want to raise the question again. What might he be asking from you today? Don't agonize any longer. Don't struggle with it any longer. Lay it down. Lay it down. Give it up. It's bitterness, strife, envy, lust, unforgiveness. That deep root that took place long time ago. God loves us. God cares about us. God wants us to be happy. We should be the most happy people on earth, the most joyful people. We have power and strength from above that is way more than anyone can find in any trucks or clothes or anything, houses, businesses. We have way much more, brothers and sisters. Young people, lay hold on eternal life. Today, after so long a time, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Lay hold on eternal life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, God's mercy, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what we're called to. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. See a butterfly? It went through a transforming process. And there's no question, it's not a nice, calm, shaven, woolly worm. It's transformed into a butterfly, and it has power to fly. It doesn't have to crawl on the ground. It's a butterfly. It's transformed. We have that power. If we're willing to surrender by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, transformed into the image of Christ. Hallelujah, brothers. What if it's our marriage that's struggling? Brothers, are you loving your wives and giving yourself for her as Christ did for the church. Wow, beautiful picture. Again, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one that gives us power. Are you giving yourself for your wife as Christ did for the church? Sisters, are you reverencing your husband? Are you respecting them, supporting them, praying for them? Yesterday I was in my office and things were a little bit difficult. I was wrestling. I was struggling a bit. And I get a text message from my wife. She's praying for me. Praise God. Are you supporting your wife? Are you coming alongside and lifting him up, pushing him on? Are we pushing our way through our business life? Do we need more? Are we stressed out, making decisions on the wing, just going? Or are we walking circumspectly and seeking the Lord for guidance, for wisdom, for direction? Are we just adapting to the new technologies and things and just going on and on? Or are we looking for the abundant mercy of God and asking him to carry us through the difficult times, show us the way, opening ourselves to brothers, asking questions, seeking wisdom? If we're just casual and careless, we are not going to make it. We are not going to make it. Persecutions, imprisonments. What about the mark of the beast? Are we going to be able to stand when that one comes? The Bible says that there's a time. So Revelation, don't ask me to explain all that. But it appears like there's a time when there's no buying and selling unless you have the mark of the beast. And I question sometimes, how much will a church need to stand together and encourage one another and search the scriptures and pray, seek the Lord? What if my children are at home and they're begging for food, they're hungry, and it's wintertime and I can't pay the electric bill? They're freezing, they're hungry, they're crying. Will I be able to overcome? Will I be able to stand? Or will I give in and just get the mark of the beast? I'm not here to say what all that is, but beware, brothers, let's walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's surrender all to the Lord. Revelation 14, verse 9 to 13. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. And whosoever receiveth the mark of the of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Are we striving to enter in? Are we laying hold on eternal life? Are we surrendering everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ this morning? Are we willing to stand together, to pray together, to worship together, to share life together? I want to note something. It says, they overcame him. It looks like there was a group. They overcame him. Are we standing together? Are we sharing life together? Are we open to each other? Let's draw nigh. Hebrews 2:22 to 25. Let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Together, worshiping together, sharing together, praying together, seeking the Lord together. We need each other. I believe there's a day coming that's going to be very, very challenging for us. I don't know when. I'm not trying to predict anything. We've had a lot of freedom in our country. Let's stand together. And if there's nothing else, there's riches, there's wealth, there's prosperity, and that is an allurement that the devil wants to use to take us from God. Let's provoke one another daily unto love and good works. I'd like to read a couple verses yet in Ephesians 5 in closing here. Wherefore, Ephesians 5, verse 14 to 21, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, looking at the surrounding, the circle, circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let the Lord shine his light on that one thing this morning, so that you and I and all of us can have that overcoming power. I just want to say that I love you all. I care about you. My heart goes out to those that struggle because it takes death, and death doesn't taste well. But give it over to the Lord, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He wants your all. I know what it's like. It's a struggle. It's a battle. Go for it. Don't give up the fight. The battle is almost over. Don't give up the fight. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honor all men,